probably all of you know that I was ordained a bishop, right? No, I don't want you to clap, because it's not about clapping. I want you to know that I was humbled at that time. You know why? Because there was a legacy left behind for me. People were calling me that, although I wasn't that. But I would not accept that because I wasn't that. But there was a legacy left behind for me. Now I want to talk about your legacy this morning. I want you to think about your legacy. Because in the time that you have left, you're going to leave a legacy. You don't know when your legacy is going to begin. Because the legacy begins after you end. So I'm going to ask you to bow your heads this morning. Father God, as we come to you this morning, we give you praise and we give you honor. Lord, we thank you for everything that you have done. We always say, Lord, we thank you for waking us up this morning and starting us on our way. But Father, what we don't know is sometimes you start us on the way, but we don't know if we end the day. But we thank you right now in the name of Jesus for what you have given us and what we have in our hands right now, Father. God, we just thank you because you didn't have to do it, but you did. And I pray today, Lord, that you use me like a tool, that whatever comes out of my mouth is from you and not from me. And I pray, Lord, that it touches the very core of somebody in the name of Jesus. I pray that it wreak havoc in their mind, in their soul, in their spirit, that they feel the urgency, Lord, to find their way to you. Because today we do have an opportunity to do that. So we just give you praise and we give you honor, Lord, and we thank you right now in the name of Jesus. Let us all say, amen. So while we were down south, I heard a story, a minister tell a story, and it impressed me so much I'm going to try to do it today. He said the devil and his minions got together to see how they can get people to not accept Christ, to die without having Christ in their life. So they sat around a round table and they were discussing ideas. And one of the demons said, well, you know, we have to let people know that there's so much fun in sin. And the devil said, yeah, that sounds pretty good, but that won't work 100%. Another one says, well, we'll just tell them that there ain't no Jesus, there ain't no God, there ain't no Christ. The devil said, well, I don't know. They believe that there's a Jesus and they know that there's a God. And the other one says, hey, I got an idea. He says, let's tell them there's Jesus. Let's tell them there's Christ. Let's tell them there's God. But let's tell them they got all the time in the world to accept him. And he said, you know what? That'll work. Amen. We don't have all the time in the world to make it work. We got just today. Amen? So I want to talk about the legacy of Christ. I know each and every one of us sometimes think of an inheritance or think about having one or receiving one. Some of us even pray about one. There's people out there that pray for inheritance. I want you to know that. They pray that people die so they can get what somebody else has, that somebody else worked for. Amen? There's people that can't wait for inheritance, so they kill people for inheritance. But each and every one of us do have an inheritance. An inheritance usually comes after the legacy of somebody who has lived. And when I talk about legacy, a legacy is something that is usually handed down historically from one period of time to another. Or a legacy could be something that is passed down from family member to family member. Sometimes we have a reputation. A legacy can be a reputation. When we first moved in Staten Island from Brooklyn, and we said our last name was Boone, they said, oh, you one of the Boones? I says, I don't know about the Boones you have out here. I'm not one of them. But there was a legacy and a reputation about that name. So you could go somewhere and somebody could say, oh, you an Anderson? Or you a Williams? Because there's something attached to that legacy, that association. Amen? And although we don't really understand everything about a legacy, we do know that sometimes it involves money. Or it involves something worthwhile that is left to us. We have children that get married. And then all of a sudden, all the little things that they left behind, they come a little closest to us. You know, we start looking at the little pictures like, oh, this is him when he was 12. This is her when she was 2. We start gathering memories and the legacy of that child that was there before they got married. Because after they got married, they're somebody different. They're not the same little child. That legacy is beginning to change a little bit. Amen? Parents do not always pass a good legacy to their children, but there's a spiritual, there's an emotional, and there's a social legacy that we all have. And when you put them all together, it's like a three-stranded cord. It's hard to break. If you just leave an emotional legacy, that can break. If you just leave a financial legacy, that can break. But if you leave a spiritual, emotional legacy along with a social legacy, it's strong. And I say a social legacy because one of the reasons why I told you before that I wanted to go see my grandson is because he has an addiction to video games. So therefore, his social skills are not quite where they should be. I don't want his legacy to be that he's socially inadequate. And there's a lot of people, there's a lot of our children out there right now. There's a lot of young adults. There's a lot of people that are socially inadequate. Because the legacy that was given to them was no legacy at all. Amen? Because if I don't stop it or my son don't stop it, his legacy is going to be that, you know, he was an okay guy, but he didn't know how to talk to people. He didn't know how to interact with people. He didn't know how to be social with people. All of these people that have done all these crazy things, these a lot of them are socially inadequate, awkward, and are outside of the box of social normal people. So we as a church, not only do and parents have an emotional legacy that we have to be concerned with, a social legacy that we have to be concerned with, and a spiritual legacy that we have to be concerned with. And I know that that sounds like a lot, but we can do it with Christ's help. Amen? Because some of us are good on maybe one or two of these, but all of us are not good on all three. So we do need Christ's help in getting this legacy across to our children. We are responsible for the process. But God is responsible for the product. Amen? God is responsible for the product, but we have to do our work. We can't do God's work and he won't do ours. And all of us know that if you got children, if you have if you're here today, you have somebody that you're responsible to. Amen? So when I think about Christ's legacy, I think about John chapter 13 through 16. And that's part of the Christian legacy, amen? So in the legacy that Christ left, he's talking to his disciples. If you read John 13 through 16, those chapters, you'll see the legacy that Christ has left. Excuse me, is it me? Is it me? Is this thing? Is my mic? Turn it down a little bit, please. When we look at chapters 13 to 16, all of the things that happened in that those chapters happened in a period of hours. They were in the upper room, and it all happened the night before his crucifixion. And just before Christ dies, he gives to the disciples and all of us his last will and testimony. And he is saying, this is what I am leaving you. And that is part of the Christian legacy. There's nothing for Christ really to do at that point. And he doesn't ask his disciples for anything. The only thing that he has really left to do is to die on the cross. So basically, the whole theme between John 13 and 16 is, here's what I am leaving you, here's what I offer you, and here's what I give to you. So when we think of a legacy, we think of what somebody gives to us, what somebody offers to us, and what somebody leaves with us. Amen? So let's set this scene a little bit, and as we look at the situation, Jesus is about to die. Now, there's many times that he has announced to the disciples that he was going to die, but they didn't accept that. And here, again, he is telling them that he is going to die. He knows he's going to die. And he starts it in John 11 when he says, I've got to go to Jerusalem. Now, the disciples already know there's no friends for Jesus in Jerusalem. But he's saying, I've got to go to Jerusalem. Have you ever gone somewhere and you know that people didn't want you to go, but you've got to go? There's some issues that's got to be settled. There's some things that's got to be done. So Jesus is saying, I've got to go to Jerusalem. And now when we get to John 13 and 31, he nails it down when he says, therefore, when he had gone out, Jesus said, now is the Son of Man glorified, and God is glorified in him. If God be glorified in him, God shall also glorify him in himself, and shall straightway glorify him. The scripture is referring to the fact that Jesus knew that he must do it so God could be glorified. There are things that we have to do in our lives so God can be glorified. And if God is glorified in us, we'll be glorified. Jesus knew that he would be glorified, but he had to do what he had to do. So that was part of his legacy. That is what he came for. To glorify his Father. Jesus didn't come down with his own agenda. As a matter of fact, his basic agenda is that none of us should be lost. Because when the first Adam messed up, we were all lost, doomed to be lost, doomed to die, doomed to be in sin. But the second Adam, which is Jesus Christ, his whole thing was that none of us should be lost. So when we look at the legacy of Christ, it is that none of us be lost. Now, how many remember the first song that you learned in Sunday school? Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. What about the first scripture that you ever remembered? For God so loved the world. I didn't even have to finish. Everybody knows that. If you don't know anything, you do know that Jesus loved you and God so loved the world. Hallelujah. But for God so loved the world, he had to take his son. For Jesus to love us, he had to die on the cross. And when he meant by his death and his resurrection, and his return to the Father was that he loves us so that he would die for us. When he got ready to die, he says, Father, I have glorified you on earth. Now glorify me with your glory I have had before the world began. That's saying that Jesus had glory before he came down here. He came to the slums when he came down here. He came to dirt when he came down here. He came to pick up the feces of the earth when he came down here, when he came for us. There's no glorification in that. There is no honor in that. He couldn't even be honored in his own home, in his own hometown, I should say, because there's no honor in that. But he dishonored himself to honor us, so we could be honored, I should say. Amen? So, can you imagine the disciples when Jesus is saying, I have to go, I'm going to die? He calls them little children. There's a reason why he calls them little children, because they act like children. We are little children to Christ because we are children to him. When we look at the the mantra that he had set before us, we act up like children. We do things that we know that we shouldn't do. We do things that we think that we can get away with if nobody catches us. So he addresses us like little children. He addresses the disciple, little children, I am here yet for a while with you. You go visit, we went to visit our grandson and son, and they don't want us to leave. But we have to leave because we have things to do. Children come over, or you go over to their house, you visit, they don't want you to leave. But you have things to do. You got to go to work, you got to get some sleep, you got to do all of these things that they have no idea about, but you have to do what you have to do. Jesus realized he had to leave. He had to leave them. So he says, little children, I am here yet for a little while. Because for 3 years, all they had known was Jesus Christ. For 3 years, he had been everything in their world. When they needed to pay their taxes, he went and got a fish and took the money out and gave it to them to pay the taxes. When they needed food, he made food for them. Amen? He sent down manna from heaven. When they needed the truth, he taught it to them. When they needed to be comforted, he gave it to them. When they needed to be rebuked, they got it. They had known nothing but supply, sustenance, and the presence of Jesus. And when they leaned on him and they leaned on him hard. Have you ever been on a bus or riding in a car or even sitting in church and somebody is asleep so hard they're leaning on you and you move, they almost fall out? They leaned on Jesus that hard. So now when your leaning place is gone, what are you going to do? That's what the disciples didn't understand. Jesus is leaving. What are we going to do? But Jesus told them, I came to die. And he said, stop letting yourself be troubled. Let not your heart be troubled. Amen? He says, but if you go, Thomas says, if you go, we don't know where you go. And we don't know the way. And Jesus tells him, you can't go where I go. Not yet. But the scripture says, I go to prepare a place for you. Right? But Thomas wanted to go then. And he says, no, not now. It ain't time yet. There's some things, there's some fulfillment that has to be done. And our legacies with our children and people that we love. Maybe the reason why you're here is because there's things to be done yet. Things that have to be taken care of. Put some closure on it. Legacy that has to be fulfilled. Prophecy that he's put you here for. Amen? But these disciples, they were very sad. When they looked at Jesus, they looked at their security. And they were troubled and they were afraid. But he told them, I'm not going to leave you this way. He always told them he's going to lead a comforter for them. Amen? When it's time for us to leave and time for us to do things, nobody knows why we have to do those things. Have you ever seen somebody on their deathbed? You think they're just sick, but they say, I got to go, and they give you some prophetic words to live by, something that they want to hold on, they want you to hold on to, a legacy statement, something. I don't know if you've ever experienced that, but I've experienced it where somebody will say something, and they want you to hold on to that. And many times later, years later, months later, weeks later, as you're thinking about things, all of a sudden, that legacy, that statement will come back to you, and you understand things later. Jesus is telling the disciples, you will understand later. So this part of the message seems a little far-fetched, but let me tell you about the legacy that Jesus left with them. You see, because during this time, he knew that he only had a few hours. So they sat down to have the Lord's Supper. And as they're sitting there, he knows one is going to betray him, but he feeds them anyway. He loves them anyway. As a matter of fact, he's the one he dipped the bread in and gave it to him because he loved them anyway. In our lives, Jesus loves us anyway, in spite of the things that we do. He still dips the bread and makes sure we get something to eat. He still pays the rent for us. We don't know where it comes from, but he still pays the rent for us. Sometimes we're sick and we're stressed out, and he still heals us in spite of the things that we do. So here are the disciples. He says, I'm going to leave. One of you is going to betray me. And they start arguing. Well, who's the greatest in the kingdom? Who's next? Who's going to be the best? And he gets down and he takes a towel and he starts washing their feet. He starts washing their feet because the legacy that he wanted to leave was a legacy of being a servant. Now, we don't understand why this means so much, but back then, when you came to my house, my servant would wash your feet so you could sit at the table with me. But they had just sat down at the table and started eating. There was no servants there to wash their feet. Jesus became the servant. And he says, I'm doing this, and you should do this one for another. You should love one for another as much as I'm doing this for you. So the legacy that Jesus wanted to leave was a legacy of servanthood, a legacy of love, a legacy of understanding one another, a legacy of being equal, no one higher and no one lower. All of us having a job to do, but all being souls. He didn't say, I just want to save the bishops and the pastors and the ministers and the evangelists. He wanted to save everybody. His mantra, his legacy is that so that none of us would be lost. Now, Peter says, you're not going to wash my feet. And Jesus says, I have to wash your feet. Peter says, well, you're going to wash my feet. Then, you know, do my arms, do my legs, do everything. Wash me. Bathe me. But listen to the words that Jesus says. He turns around and he doesn't say, I must wash your feet. He says, you must be bathed. You must be cleansed. You see, washing the feet is symbolism. But we must be bathed. We must be washed clean of everything that the devil has infiltrated into us. It's not that we won't do something again, but we have to be washed clean daily. Day by day, we got to pray to the Lord to please forgive us for the sins that we created, the things that we did, that we knew, and the things that we don't know. Because when we don't do that, we walk around thinking that we're as clean as ice cream, and somebody else is holding some resentment against us for something that we said. Whether you meant it or not. Whether you did it in anger or not. But somebody's holding something against you. But if you have a high spirit where nobody can come talk to you, that person that you offended, they won't be able to come to you and let you know that you offended them. But if you have a humble spirit, they'll be able to come to you and say, you know, Pastor, you offended me when you said that. And I would be able to say, well, don't take it personal. It was him, not me. But we have to be humble enough, servanthood enough, that people can come to us and talk. So the legacy that Christ left with us is one of servanthood. The legacy that he left with us is one of being humble. The legacy that he left with us is one that we should love one another. And Jesus told Peter, if I don't wash you, you're not going to have any part of me. You see, another death that I know of, a friend of mine, his mother passed away. And it's hard to talk to people in the midst of this because he says to me, well, you know, my mother passed away. She had a nasty attitude, but she did good things for people. She was a good person. She would tell you off, but she would do good things. She would make sure you would have something to eat. You couldn't leave her house without having something to eat. If you needed some change, she'll give you some change. She was a good person. And then he says to me, so I know that she's in heaven. Listen, we do not go to heaven because of deeds. we're not getting there because of the things that we do that are nice. Because what might be nice to you ain't nice to me. So deeds have nothing to do with your heavenly reward. How do you tell somebody your mom ain't in heaven because of her deeds? How do you tell somebody that? You tell them the truth, but you tell them in love. I just don't think the deeds are the way to get there. And I'm not fighting. I'm not arguing with the person. I just have to tell them that I know that deeds are not the way to get there. It's tough. But see, now's the time that we leave the legacy of what it is that we need to tell people. My God, they used to tell me that, you know, death comes in threes. Well, for me and people that I know, death came in about tens this time. There's got to be at least 10 people that I know of that passed away or something happened to them. That is a sign of the times. What used to be a normal is no normal any longer. You don't hear of things like we hear of right now. And the more sophisticated we come, the harder it's going to get. The harder it's going to get. Amen? When I was growing up, we didn't have no remote controls. You get into the car, and then you can't get in and you couldn't get out. You rolled the window down. You climbed in, you climbed out. And act like you was driving. But now we got remote controls that let you in. And we went to a restaurant. And right in front of us, I'm telling you, right in front of us, maybe 3 weeks ago, a little kid, the mother put the little baby in the car. They leave in the restaurant. She put the remote down, closed the door on him, and he took the remote and locked the doors. And she's saying, click the button, open the door. And he's laughing and waving. They had to call the cops. And the police is trying to tell them to do it, and they just got the thing and opened the door up. But as sophisticated as we get, the harder it is for people to understand how simple death and the degree between death and life. How things are overcoming our ability to reason. These people are talking about so much prosperity on TV's ministry about money. It's not about money. It's about where you going when you die. Because the money, you can't take it with you. And you don't want your legacy to be that, oh, he left a lot of money when he died. And that's the only thing they got to say about you. Because your money will be gone before you're cold in the grave. Jesus wasn't even dead yet. The disciples were fighting to see who was the greatest. You won't even be dead, and your children or whoever you left that money around, they'll be fighting over who's going to get the money. And you won't even be cold. They'll be sitting in the funeral looking at each other with hatred. That's why Jesus said in his legacy, it is about love to one another. If you love somebody, bring them to church. Invite them to church. Give them a word. Give them a scripture. They might not accept it, but you know one thing. They'll always know that you invited them to church. They'll always know the scripture. You see, the person who died, whose mom died, me and him were friends for many years. But just as soon as I changed my life, he separated from me. My wife would tell you, he separated from me. But that's why when we have the time to witness to somebody, we got to witness. We got to let people know who Jesus Christ is. We got to let them know that there is something after life. You're going one way or the other. There's something to behold. There's no way we're going to let people continue to go on the way that they're going on. We don't know how much time we have. We got to bring our children to Sunday school. got to bring our children to children's church. We got to let them know that they can be saved, that there is a Christ. He didn't put an age limit on when somebody can accept Christ. Regardless of the age limit, regardless of their physical status, regardless of their mental capacities, they have to know that they can be saved. We want to teach them how to get a job. We want to teach them how to talk. Why can't we teach them to know that there is a God? There is a Jesus Christ who loves them. That there is something called hell and heaven. Because everywhere else that they go, they're going to tell them that don't exist. You got to include it in their culture. Because if you don't include anything about Christ in their culture, the world will include their culture in their life. So upset with so many things that are going on. What can I do? The only thing I can do is witness and share the gospel. The only thing I can do is speak life into people. The only thing I can do is let people know that there is a better way. There is another alternative. We have to look at that perspective. We have to start doing that. When you leave here, what is your legacy going to say about you? You know, there's people who tell you that they love you. And then they're gone. And that had the disciples wondering because Jesus told them for 3 years he loved them. And then he said he was leaving. So how could somebody who loves you so much leave you after 3 years? How? Because he had something to do. And he said to them, I'm telling you I love you now, but you'll learn more later on in the by and by. And when he died on that cross, and when he suffered on that cross, he showed them how much he loved them. Because he planted a seed in their head before he did that. He said, greater love has no man than to lay down his life. So when he was on the cross and he was dying, I'm sure that in their mind, somebody thought, greater love has no man than to lay down his life. And we're disciples. He's not asking us to lay down our lives for anybody, but he is asking us to speak to people. He's asking us to share the gospel of Jesus Christ. He's asking us to show love one to another. He's asking us to show love to people that we don't even care to show love to. He's asking us to be servants. That's what being a disciple is. So, in his legacy, he also did what we're getting ready to do today. We're going to have the Lord's Supper and feet washing. And I'm going to stop right there for a minute because I know a lot of people like to take the crackers and the grape juice and they don't like to do feet washing. But the scripture says Lord's Supper and feet washing. If you do one without the other, you ain't doing the whole thing. I've seen people do the crackers and the grape juice and leave and not do the feet washing. But it's just like Peter. If I don't wash your feet, you'll have no part of me. He didn't leave half a legacy. He left the whole one. And the whole one is foot washing and Lord's Supper. Am I right, Bishop? Am I right, Minister? Am I right, Mother? Am I right, Ministers? If you don't do one, then don't do the other. Because 99 and a half won't do. And the reason why I'm saying that, because you know what? There's a song that they sang, get right, church, get right. And I can't let you go by with half a gospel. I can't let you go by with half a word. I can't let you go by without telling you the whole thing. whether you like it or not, whether you like me or not, because it's not my word, it's his. And his legacy. He said, do this in remembrance of me. So you're not remembering the whole legacy of Jesus Christ when you don't do what he says. It's like everything else. You can't do a half a sin. A sin is a sin. You can't do a half of, you can't do the legacy of Christ and do half of it. Oh, I'm going to eat the bread and the crackers and drink the grape juice, but I'm not going to do the feet washing. Get right, church, get right. We got to get right, and we got to do it the right thing. And half stuff that we've been doing ain't going to be doing it no more. It's time to stop. Too many people are dying. 8 to 80. 4 to 80. 2 to 80. Dying before they even come out of the mother's womb. And we want to do half a gospel. He said, tell the whole story. Tell the whole story. Let us stand this morning.